Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 188. So today I am joined again by Cora Ray. This is actually part two of our two-part podcast with Korok. So if you don't listen to episode part one, I encourage you to do that. You hear more of an introduction, more of a background of Korok and his personal experience with outsourcing, and even his personal experience in the White House with George Bush with outsourcing. So it's a really good episode. And that is episode number 187. But if you just want to enjoy this episode, then of course, please do so. So Korok is an academic. He earned his PhD in economics from Stanford University. He's taught at the University of Chicago and also Georgetown University. And now he is at Texas A&M University, where he is the director of the Mays Innovation Research Center. Korok also worked on the Council of Economic Advisors of the White House from 2007 to 2009, which was during the historical financial crisis. He worked and observed how George Bush worked and noticed that fundamentally there was a lot of outsourcing involved in how the president organized his activities. So that was the nascent catalyst for Korok to go on his journey with outsourcing and try and emulate that as much as possible. Again, a lot of this we cover in episode 187, so I do encourage you to go back and listen to this. But today in this episode, we talk more about, and more specifically about, his essay that he has released, which is called Online Outsourcing and the Future of Work. So this essay, we're very lucky to have the permission of Korok to publish it on our website. So of course this essay will be in the show notes and of course in our white paper section of the website. So do go and check that out. Without further ado though, please enjoy this conversation with Korok. If you want any of the show notes, any of the links, or to get in touch with Korok, then just go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/188. That's the paper, Online Outsourcing and the Future of Work?
Yes, that one.
Fantastic. And we're actually going to post that on our website shortly, so we'll certainly let you know about that, and we'll put the links in the show notes. It is a fantastic paper, and maybe we can spend a little time going through that now. You mentioned, I suppose, just going from the start of the paper, about the history of outsourcing initially, and you have pretty stark projections in there saying that effectively the whole fundamental of employment will change. You're saying that there's going to be no more full-time jobs. A lot of it will be project-based, and it's also output-based as opposed to input-based. You really do see the future as being such a stark contrast to how we function today?
Yeah, I do feel and I'm writing for the long game, the real long term. It's going to take a long time before that happens. Mm. It's already happening. I think we've already seen it in the last 20 years. It happens step by step, and every day there's a little bit of a move towards this direction. Like the growth of the sharing economy, the growth of people choosing to be Uber drivers rather than just taxi drivers, or even like even just working for a company. More and more independent work, more and more contract work is pushing towards this tidal wave of basically output-based pay. And then over time, the internet is going to make this more and more possible, and then we'll develop hardware sensors that can much more easily capture granular data on human performance, which will then be fed into algorithms that can assign and distribute work. So I think we, I guess what my writing may seem a little alarmist, but all I'm trying to do is to take observations from current practice and then project them forward 50 years or 100 years, and then I don't think it seems that unusual.
Yeah, and when I say that, you know, I'm actually playing devil's advocate because I absolutely, wholly, 100% agree with you in the sort of progression of where we're going. I think it's inevitable, and you know, one of the kind of stark realities is that there's kind of 5 billion people on the planet that are pretty much completely underutilized at the moment. And as soon as they come online, as soon as they're involved in the network, they're going to start off with obviously very basic fulfillment functions, but then of course they're on the ladder and they're gonna climb up the ladder, aren't they? And there's gonna be and some people see that as scary, but there's a huge potential because as soon as 7 billion people in the world are producing as opposed to just 1 or 2 billion, the sort of catalyst for change and development and enhancement is phenomenal, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, that's why I'm really optimistic about the future. And I don't subscribe to this robots ruling the earth philosophy at all. Mm. I think that, you know, the savior to that is going to be outsourcing. And you know, one thesis that I didn't really put in the essay, but I've been developing in the last year is really how do you deploy outsourcing for innovation? And the reason I say innovation is that historically outsourcing has been the kinds of jobs that have been outsourced are the more jobs on the lower level of the cognitive spectrum, and the jobs that have been retained in the home offices have been more of the harder, more abstract and vague cognitive creative tasks. But I believe the undiscovered country of opportunity in the future will be, can you outsource and crowdsource innovation? And then I think anything is possible. I mean, then innovation doesn't have to be locked into a lab, into the Apple building of Cupertino, California only, but rather can be, sourced from anywhere in the U.S., then human, I think, sorry, anywhere in the world, then human output is really unlimited.
Yeah, and, you know, what you're talking about there is really just creating an efficient interface, isn't it? As you say, you know, it's actually kind of the platform, the interface, and a relatively frictionless one that then enables stuff. Because what I think people get confused about, and this is actually one of my kind of hypotheses, is that, and it's probably shorter term than yours, but outsourcing in 20 to 30 years will no longer be delineated to just general employment. And you're just going to be calling it employment, and it's irrespective of where people are sitting, whether they're sitting in Manila or Moscow or New York, you're really just hiring people based on their deliverables, based on the price. You know, it becomes fairly binary. Yep. And whether that is a sort of output-based relationship or an input-based relationship, you know, it sort of might vary. But effectively, you know, I see one of the first major sort of milestones is when there's just no delineation between what we call outsourcing today and employment. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Yeah, the nature of employment will morph into becoming much more flexible and open ended.
Yeah. So, and then AI development, because it's AI, automation, robotics, it's really sending shockwaves through Manila at the moment, you know, and last 20 years, outsourcing has really transformed this economy. It contributes 10% towards the GDP, and it's, you know, employing white-collar workers, even if they're in call centers, effectively it's developing a middle class where previously there was none. But people are really concerned now about the development of AI. They think all of these call center jobs, all the sort of data entry jobs will be wiped out by AI. Now, I tend to disagree. I think even if it was developed, it would take a lot longer than people think. But you are actually, you know, quite refreshingly thinking that it will only continue to enhance roles, not replace roles. But also, you know, what I noticed quite significantly differently about your perspective is that AI will, tell me if I get this wrong, but AI will basically be utilized to enhance the platform and the interface and make an even more sort of frictionless interaction between the producers and the requesters. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That is right. Yeah. So,
and you were
you know,
with,
I mean,
with that.
I'm
I
not
mean,
going to deny the fact that AI is going to continue to, it is going to continue to overtake some of the more basic jobs that you know, like transcription and data entry. I mean, the AI is for sure going to move along that margin, but there's still a lot of you know, AI still has a lot of room to grow, and it's still going to take a long time before we reach anything that requires really really strong human judgment. But I think that one of the best applications of AI will be inside these new platforms of the future, and you know, really, we need to re you know, what's happened in the you know past and like already happened so far is that computers have been very good at digitizing books and CDs. It's getting a little better at digitizing people, like their kind of their characteristics through Facebook. But then when you know the real potential is really digitizing their skills and their talents in a really granular way, and then feeding that into you know, having AI chew on that problem, I think, would have big, big social value.
And it's very difficult to produce, isn't it? It's like when you learn a foreign language, you can generally understand the foreign language far sooner than you can have an engaging conversation in the foreign language. And I think it's easier for AI to kind of understand how humans work, but then for them to actually become a human is still
Yeah.
quite another step, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right.
But so you see, but it is difficult, isn't it? And you know, I wonder how, because if you look at human management, you know, there's always been these academic arguments between kind of a hierarchy within workplaces or flat management structures, and I think ultimately you're dealing with humans that haven't really changed much for the last million years, and it's difficult to kind of come in with a modern overlay and say that this is more efficient, so now just conform. We are sort of fundamentally stuck to our roots in some regard, aren't we? And so do you think that that will have ultimately, you know, like it might be far more efficient to have completely decentralized, completely, you know, kind of AI distributed workforce and things like that, and output-based product. But do you think there's going to be a human aspect that gets in the way where people just say, look, we prefer it like this?
Well, I'm being a little bit in my essay. I might be a little bit of an alarmist, the reality is there will always be full-time work because some things you just need someone kind of face to face and available in front of you, and it's efficient to just simply give them the to give them instructions. But the reality is that you know, for most organizations, much, much more of their work will benefit by accessing a global talent market rather than simply the few random people you happen to hire in your own city. And so I'm actually pretty, I mean, you know, the reason I'm optimistic is that I believe technologies will emerge over time that will all make outsourcing easier. And one of the best is virtual reality. I mean, when VR really takes off and it makes, you know, face-to-face kind of seamless communication of someone who's across the world, but should be, you know, feels like they're in front of you, that's going to make the world way smaller, and I think it's going to really have a lot of help for the outsourcing revolution.
Yeah, and then as you know, it then just becomes employment, doesn't it? You know, you're no longer sort
Yeah.
of delineating at all.
Right.
And you mentioned in your essay as well a case study for the Philippines,
Yep.
and you mentioned personal experience there. Can I draw on your viewpoint? You've never been to the Philippines. I have invited you here, so hopefully maybe that will happen one day. I'm based in the
Yes.
Philippines, and I'm reaching out to the US, trying to encourage the US and other Western countries, but trying to encourage businesses and people as much as possible to consider outsourcing. Where do you see the general awareness of outsourcing, the general acceptance of outsourcing in kind of you know, mid-level US business life at the moment?
I think what let me tell you where the perception is now is that right now, as you can probably imagine, most people that I talk to think of the Philippines as a place to send to either run your call center or to do kind of basic outsource basic work like data entry. You know, in my opinion, the Philippines as a nation sort of needs to kind of I guess reimagine themselves and redesign their education a little bit and focus more on the cognitive tasks and providing real value on the cognitive front. And that I think is an enormous opportunity that the businesses do not yet utilize. And I think that could that to me is the undiscovered country, and how to do that effectively is it's not obvious how to do it. It's a challenge both technically and conceptually, but that is where I talk to so many because I run an innovation center and people are always curious about how do you actually get innovation and how does it work, and a lot of it means just running a lot of different experiments, trying a lot of different ideas. And the more experiments you can run, the better off you are, and you shouldn't be limited to just the people that are in your own research lab. But somehow, if those people could then access a global network of people to help them come up with ideas, that would really be something.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of Darwinism, isn't it? The more experiments you run, then you're going to get kind of closer towards evolution faster, and the more people doing it. It really just multiplies that, doesn't it? Well, at Outsource Accelerator, we are actually trying to promote the Philippines as the Swiss banking of outsourcing, because I believe actually it has reasonable claim to that mantle, since it has such incredible English-speaking population, young population. Yeah. It's been one of the longest actors in the outsourcing supply. So we're trying to brand it as that and, get people moving up the skill and supply ladder. Because, you're right. I think there's an unfortunate hangover of people associating outsourcing with really bad call center experience when they're angrily phoning their bank about 20 or 30 years ago. And I think there's an unfortunate hangover there, isn't there? And that there's kind of...
Yeah.
You mention outsourcing and immediately people, I suppose, one aspect is this tribalism. It's like, oh, jobs are going offshore. But then the next one is, you can easily sort of blame the scapegoat by saying that there's been a bad customer service experience and things like that. So it's, I think there's probably a bit of a hangover from the call center days of 20 years ago. Hopefully, there is the opportunity of basically, even if people just come over here for back-end admin, they will see the potential and then can basically move up the skill set ladder themselves within their own organization.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And where do you see your own ventures going? Could you imagine that? Because when I first came over here, we started with customer service, and again, that seems like the gateway very commonly. But then I soon realized that why not hire the operations manager here? Why not hire the marketing manager here? And then almost, it became apparent that why not run the entire organization here and just have the minimum required staffing in London, which is actually where my operation was being kind of executed, I suppose you could say. Do you see a common evolution with other people like that? And are you seeing that internally within your own interests? That basically there's a creep of functions and eventually, you almost tip the pyramid upside down?
Yeah, I think... I don't know whether it's all going to reside in one country like the Philippines or whether it'll be scattered across multiple countries. I could imagine that there are certain countries that might, like Ukraine might, for example, that specialize in software development and more of the data entry goes to other countries. But I do believe that what we will see more of in the future is companies that are very lean in some parts of the world, and then have big, big back offices in other parts that we may not even see as much.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's Deutsche Bank in Manila here, and they have about 2,500 staff, and I know some of the management there. And they said that, it just started with customer service, and then it progressed into kind of like back office functions. But then they started hiring mathematicians, and they are doing all of the most complex modeling for all of Deutsche Bank worldwide now in the Philippines, and
Oh, wow.
it's an inevitable creep because, if you're in a country 20 years, you've got the actual runway yourself to take someone from, I suppose, a professional cradle to grave and make them into whatever you need them. You educate,
Yeah.
you take them through the processes. And so, yeah, Deutsche Bank is just pulling more and more of its, increasingly technical roles over to the Philippines.
Oh, that's
So
great.
there's definite potential. But eventually, I suppose, then it's really just going to be, there's going to be an equilibrium somewhere there, isn't there? And the only kind of balancer is the cost of living. But eventually, the cost of having these outputs produced will kind of equalize with just a bit of a margin, depending on the cost of living environment. Do you see that it will
Yeah,
affect the
I think if economically, what's happening is the reason we see cost of living is high in certain areas is because the wages are high, and the wages are high usually because of there's some historical reason why the capital owners like or the high skilled people live in some areas. But as as work becomes mobile, very mobile, the cost of living should equalize. And so what will happen over time if the Philippines keep growing and they will their cost of living will start to go up. And that's a long ways away, but eventually that will happen. And so if really then you'll see a much more even distribution of like land and house prices where it will be much more uniform than it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is again a fantastic thing for the humanity of the world, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
Ultimately, it's
that's
about
right.
giving people a fairer environment to work from.
That's right. That's right.
Fantastic. So, thank you so much, Corak. I've really enjoyed this. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, again, we will have your most recent essay, "The Online Outsourcing and the Future of Work," available in the show notes and on our website, and of course, we will have all of your contact details in there. But if anyone wants to engage with you, if anyone wants to read more about your work, how can they do that?
Yes, yeah, I'd be ha thank you, Derek, for having me. I would love visitors to my website. It's korokray.com, korokray.com. That's where all my writing is there, as well as all my my writing about outsourcing. My academic research is there, and then you can always free feel to email me. You can reach me at my first name Korok, KORoK at TAMU, TAMU.edu, my university email address.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. And of course, we'll have all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much. And I've really enjoyed this talk.
Okay, thank you so much, Derek. Great talking to you.
That was Corak Ray. Amongst other things, he is the director of the Mays Innovation Research Center and has a PhD in economics from Stanford University. I just had so much fun discussing outsourcing, the future of employment, and the potential of all of this on the world economy and the standards of living for all of us. So I really learned a huge amount. Of course, Korak was here talking about his essay that he has given us permission to publish on our website, which I'm absolutely thrilled about. The essay is called "Online Outsourcing and the Future of Work." I really recommend that everyone out there grabs a copy of this and has a read, and I would love your opinion on what we discussed today and what is discussed within that essay. So if you want any of this, if you want to get in touch with Korak, if you want the essay, then go to our show notes. All of the links are in there. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/188. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.